Thank you for listening to the official podcast of Everyday Church. We are a body of believers in Oklahoma City with a mission to live out our faith on a daily basis. Let's listen in as we hear a powerful message from God's Word.
Good morning. How are we doing this morning? Doing all right? Doing okay? E-students, wake up. All right? No? I said no. You wake up. All right. Well, welcome to the gathering of Everyday Church. Man, it is so good to see you guys this morning. Thank you for joining us this morning for worship. For those of you who are watching online, I told Brandy I would say hi. So hi, Brandy. Miss you. We miss you guys. Hi, Dad. I know my dad's watching too. So thanks for being here this morning. Today is special, and John already kind of talked about it a little bit, but it's been a really big weekend for our e-students. It's been the first ever big weekend, and it's just been incredible. You notice they've been serving this morning, and that's been intentional because it's the big weekend. This weekend, our theme has been undefined, and we decided to go with this theme because essentially our world has come to this point where it's undefined, this movement of being undefined. We hear it all the time, right? We hear things like, you can't tell me how to live my life. I know I've told my mom that. You can't tell me how to live my life, right? Or, hey man, you do you, I'll do me. Or even perhaps you've heard, I don't really care what you do. You live your life, I'll live mine. Does this sound familiar? Yeah, I think it does. We see it and we hear it all the time. The world says you can do whatever you want to be, or do whatever you want to do, be whoever you want to be. And, you know, just do what makes you happy. Just whatever makes your heart feel good. Just do what makes you happy, right? So we spent time yesterday, talking about how we've been uniquely created by a good God with a specific identity and calling. The God of the universe has made us to have a relationship with him. He loves us. He cares for us. And he designed things in a way that he knows best. He didn't create all these rules and everything else just so he can control us, but it's because he loves us, and he knows best for us. The world will say, do whatever you want to do, be whatever you want to be. It's your life. You do whatever you want. Nathan, it's like Burger King, right? Have it your way. Shout out to Nathan. He gave me that idea. That's good. And I was like, ooh, that's good. I'm going to use that in a sermon. It's like Burger King, right? Life should be like Burger King. You just have it your way, right? And believe it or not, it's even slipping into our churches. Have you ever heard something like, I just don't want to go to that church because they didn't really have what I want? Or this church doesn't have music that fits my style? Or that church didn't have enough to entertain my children? Our agenda has slipped into what we think church should be. And we have become so used to being entertained all the time and getting whatever we want all the time that it started to become a part of church should be whatever I want whenever I want it. We want a certain music, we want a certain program, a certain this or a certain that. And we've become so incredibly focused on the things that don't even really matter. And that's like we're so picky about the church because it's just, they didn't have a fog machine, I'm out. And it's silly, but like people actually would say something like that. So Friday we talked about it. We talked about the church, what the church is supposed to be. And we talked about our identity as Christ followers. The church, is the church a building or a people? It's a people. We talked about it. We talked about the church being a people. And guess what? The church is not whatever you want it to be. God has given us a definition of the church in Scripture. We have a purpose, we have a calling, and we have a mission. And I think it's safe to say that we could even say that this mentality of I want it my way has even slipped into our mission as the church. We think that being a part of a church means showing up and putting our booty in a chair on Sunday morning, not singing through worship, not paying attention to the sermon, and then checking off the list. And then you go the entire week, not ever again thinking about the things of God until you come back the next Sunday and it's time to check it off. We've become so complacent with being lazy and mediocre. But what we're going to see today as we open up the Word of God is that we were made to be so much more as the church. We were made to be so much more than that. If you've been with us the last few weeks, you know that we've been in what book? Ephesians, right. We've been going through the book of Ephesians. And I don't know about you guys, but this series has blessed me. It's been wonderful. It's been really challenging. And John has just done a really good job at bringing the Word. And so this week we're going to continue the study on Ephesians while also wrapping up big weekend, so two birds, one sermon. Two birds, one sermon. That's what that was supposed to be. It was supposed to be a joke, but it's all right. It's fine. So go ahead and open your Bibles to Ephesians. If you said Genesis, you're wrong. You probably noticed that this year, as you're turning there, I'm going to talk a little bit. You probably noticed that what's something that's special that's happening this year that doesn't happen all the time? What was that? The Olympics. That's right. The Olympics. I love watching the Olympics. Now, this year, we haven't really had the opportunity to watch the Olympics, but, you know, I still like the Olympics. And one of the things that I love about the Olympics is the opening ceremony. They get to walk in together. Like, all these countries are walking in. They usually look the same. Like, hey, we're all from the United States. It's an incredible honor and privilege to get to do that, especially if you get to carry the nation's flag, right? It's just this really cool, really neat moment. Now, can you imagine for a second, everyone's walking in, everyone's doing their thing. Team USA, you know, they say, hey, guys, we're going to wear our blue suits as we walk in, and then Shaun White, the snowboarder, shows up in a yellow suit. That'd be weird. Or if, like, they're walking in, and they're all waving hi to everyone, and it's going good, and then you have the bobsled team just like, whoa, just, like, freaking out and, like, going crazy, which, I don't know, I figure if you do bobsled, you got to be a little crazy. So, you know, they're just, like, going crazy. What would you say? If you're like me, you'd probably be like, that's funny. Shaun White in a yellow suit when the rest of America was like, wear blue. And Shaun White's like, oh. But you also might say, those guys aren't representing very well. They're not walking in a manner worthy. And this is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about walking in a manner that's worthy of the calling to which we've been called. In other words, we're going to talk about the church and the lives that we live, because guess what? Your life, the way that you live, it matters. It matters to God. It matters to your faith family. So Ephesians chapter 4 will be in verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. That's it. That's our verse for today. A lot of reading, I know. So my basketball coach used to tell us as we were getting off the bus, like, remember who you represent. Remember who you play for. And he wanted us to play and behave and act in a way that represented our town and our community well. And I remember one game, we got beat by a team who was garbage. We should not have lost that game. And we got beat. And we got beat bad. And our coach just came in the locker room, and he's usually pretty level-headed, but I have never seen this dude so bad in my life. He just screaming and yelling. And I was like, oh, man, we are definitely going to run tomorrow. We did. But he was going on and on about how embarrassed we should have been for that performance, and he was right. Because before the game, guys were just goofing around. They weren't caring about the game. We got to the game, and it showed. We weren't ready. Guys were forgetting how to run plays. We were missing layups. It was just awful. We did not represent our team well. And when I think about this sentence that Paul is writing, I get that same vibe. Here's a man who's so incredibly on fire for the Lord that even while he's in prison, he's urging people to walk in a manner that's worthy of the calling. He's telling them to live their life and represent their team, their family, their Lord well. But what does that mean? What does it mean to live a life that's worthy? What does it mean to live a life worthy of the calling to what we have been called? What have we been called to? Well, let's find out. Let's start off by talking about living a life that's worthy. Paul is telling them to live worthy. How do we do that? On Friday, for the big weekend, we talked about Acts 2, 42 through 47. I'm going to have it up on the screen, but I'm not going to walk through it. It's a lot of scripture. And as you're reading through this passage, Nick, if you want to go ahead and throw that up there. As you're reading through this passage, you'll see that in the first part of it, they were devoted to the word, right? They were devoted to the word. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, is what it says. And then later on, you see that they were devoted to the community. It goes on to talk about they had everything in common. And they were fulfilling, if someone had a need, it was like, all right, we'll take care of you. So they were devoted to the word. They were devoted to the community. And then they were devoted to the mission. Well, how do you know that? The Lord was adding to their number day by day. Those who were being saved. They lived lives that were devoted to the word, devoted to the community, and devoted to the mission. They lived gospel-centered lives that we're totally fixated on Jesus, that we're totally surrendered to Jesus. Okay, your question might be, how do I know if my life is totally surrendered to Jesus? Let me ask you this question. How do you tell that an orange tree is an orange tree? It's got oranges on it, bro. That's how you know. How do you know that a Christian is living a life completely surrendered to Jesus? Galatians 5 tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So take a look. Look at your life. Who else who was singing in their head the song? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. No, just me and my sister. Cool. Thanks, sis. So is your life reflecting the fruits of the Spirit? If you looked at your life, do you think you could see those things? Here's what I want. Everyone look at me. You see the look right here. Are you living a life that is worthy? Or if someone outside of the church were to look at you, would they see nothing different than the rest of the world? Are you bearing the fruits of the Spirit? That's what it looks like to live a life worthy. Lord, help us if we're not. Even if you gave your life to Jesus at a young age, your life should look drastically different than the rest of the world. It's not just about the Lord pulling you know, the addict out of addiction. It's not just about pulling the prisoner out of prison and giving him a new life. It's giving the dead life. Your life should look completely different. Living a life worthy means bearing the fruits of the Spirit. Living a life worthy means being devoted to the Word of God, reading the Word, studying the Word, knowing the Word. It means being devoted to the community, to your faith family. And it means being devoted to the mission, taking the gospel to the nations, bearing the fruits of the Spirit. So that's how we live worthy to the calling. What's the calling? Well, we talked about last week in Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. It says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. The first thing that we're called to is to know Jesus. Know Jesus. We have been created in the image of God. Why? We're different than every other thing on this planet. Why? So we can have a relationship with the Father. He made us in his image. Why? Because he wants to have a relationship with us. Not because we're cool. Not because we're great. Because he loves us that much. That's why. That's why. Think back to the garden. How do you know God wants to have a relationship with us? Look back to the Garden of Eden. Who walked around with Adam and Eve? God. God did. He wants us to have community with him. Not because we're cool and we bring all this great stuff to the table, because we don't. So the first thing that we're called to do as believers is to know God. The second thing is to make him known. Make Jesus known. Know Jesus and make Jesus known. We have to remember, who was Paul writing to in Ephesus? Christians, the saints, the church. And what's the church supposed to do? Make Jesus known. The church exists to make Jesus known. Everyday church exists to know Jesus and to make Jesus known, right? It's what Jesus commanded in Matthew 28 and in Acts 1:8, right? To go make disciples, baptize and teach and be witnesses. We aren't just meant to soak up all of this Jesus, and then not do anything about it. When we know more of Jesus, it should lead us to make Jesus known more. When we know more of Jesus, it should lead us to make Jesus known more. So, everyday church, what are we going to do about it? In the words of my wonderful, wonderful friend, John Hickman, let's be about it. I don't want to just think about it. I don't just want to hear about it. I want to be about it. Everyday church, let's be about it. Let's live lives that are totally surrendered and focused on the things of God. Let's be the hands and feet of Jesus. Let's love our neighbors and pray for our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Let's live lives that say, Jesus is king. I'm not king. Jesus is king. Today is not about self-help. Oh my goodness, please hear me. Not about self-help. Today is not about pulling yourselves up by your bootstraps and just doing better. It's not about doing more charity work or doing more churchy things. This is about surrender. This is about obedience. It's about knowing Jesus and making him known. That's what this is about. Living a life that's worthy of the calling is living a life that is totally surrendered to Jesus Christ and the things of Jesus Christ. That's what that means. So how do we start? The best place for us to start is in prayer. And that's what we're going to do. I know you can feel it. I'm not as energetic and peppy as usual. That's for a reason. Because today, I want today to be serious. I want this to be a moment where you really connect with God. And so we're going to pray together right here, right now. We're going to take some time to pray, and I'm going to lead us through a few prayer prompts, and we're going to have some music playing in the background. Guys, if you want to go ahead and start that. You can pray by yourself, pray with your family. But here's the deal, pray. I just want you to pray. Because in order for us to live lives worthy of the calling of Jesus Christ, we need to start on our knees. As we talked about last week, we can boldly and humbly approach the throne of God. In order for us to live lives that are totally devoted to Jesus, we first have to surrender to Jesus. So that's what we're going to do. If you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, I encourage you to do that today. If you don't know how to do that, find me, find John. We'd love to have that conversation with you. We would love to have that conversation with you. That would make our day if we got to have that conversation of, man, how do I really live for Jesus? And if you're a Christian in here, you cannot live this life on your own. You cannot do this on your own. You need Jesus just as much. Salvation isn't just your free ticket out of hell, then I get to do whatever I want. Salvation is surrendering to Jesus, and Jesus is only Savior if he's Lord. And if you want the salvation that Jesus offers, you also surrender to his lordship, to his rule, and to his reign. So go ahead and bow your head, close your eyes. We're going to pray. I'm going to say, here's a prayer prompt. It'll be up on the screen. And as I talk through this prayer prompt, you just pray. You just pray. I'll give you a few minutes to pray, and then we'll move on to the next one. So whether you do that with your family or individually, man, today, surrender to Jesus. So the first thing that I want you to pray for is pray for surrender. Whether you've given your life to Jesus or not, ask God to help you completely give your life. Every part of your life. What areas in your life are you still holding on to? Maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's a burden. Maybe it's fear or anxiety. It could even be good things like a kid or a spouse. Whatever it might be, ask God to take control of every aspect of your life. The next thing I want you to pray for is pray for hunger. Pray for hunger, that God would give you a hunger for a life that is fixated on Jesus. Pray for a hunger for the Word. Ask God to help you desire His Word, His presence, and His will, just as you desire to eat and drink. As a deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Do you hunger for the things of God? Ask God to help you hunger for Him. The next thing I want you to pray for wisdom. There are so many different scenarios that life is going to throw at you. We live in a fallen and broken world. One day it's fine, the next day it's not. Ask God for wisdom, because even in the midst of chaos, we're called to live lives that are worthy, called to live lives that are totally fixated on Jesus. Ask God to give you wisdom. Pray that He would help you navigate and respond in a way that brings Him glory and that honors His name. pray for boldness. Boldness. The world around us is not for Christianity. Brothers and sisters around the world are facing persecution, and it's getting harder to live here as a Christian in the States. So pray for boldness. Ask God to help you stand firm. Ask him to help you believe and trust his word is better than anything else. Ask him to help you be strong, even when it doesn't make sense. Pray and ask God to give you to help you value following Jesus over everything. Pray that Christ alone would be enough. Pray for opportunities. We have a calling to know Jesus and make him known. And you can't make him known if you don't tell people about him. Just a heads up, this is a scary thing to pray. Because when you pray for opportunities to share Jesus, your eyes will be opened. You will see the brokenness. You will see the hurt. Taking Jesus out into the world means going into the brokenness. But that's exactly why Jesus came. He came not for those who are well, but those who are sick, poor, and needy. So when you pray this, be ready to go, because the harvest is plentiful. And lastly, pray for surrender. Yeah, I know, we already prayed for this. Pray it again. You can't do this on your own. You are not king. You weren't created to be king. But you were created to be a son or a daughter of the king. Jesus is king. Let him do what he's best at. Pray for total surrender, that Jesus would own every single part of your life, even the parts that nobody knows about. Ask him to rid you of your sin, to rid you of your desire to be in control, and invite him to sit on the throne of your heart, because guess what? It belongs to him anyway. So pray for surrender. I want you to keep praying, and I'm going to close us out in prayer. Thank you so much for being here today. You are loved. You are cared for. If you'd like to have a conversation about what it means to follow Jesus, man, let me know. Let John know. So, Father God, we love you. God, thank you so much for today. Lord, thank you so much just for who you are and for what you do. God, I pray that you would help us to live a life worthy of the calling that you have called us to. Lord, I pray that if there's someone in here who does not know you, God, that they would totally surrender. Maybe it's someone like me who grew up in the church thinking, I'm good. I'm going to church all the time. I do the churchy things. And yet my heart was far from you. I didn't love you. And Lord, it wasn't until that you smacked me upside the head that I realized that I needed to truly surrender to you. Lord God, God of the universe, the Lord of heaven and earth, you made us in your image to have a relationship with you. You didn't create us so that we could to try to figure it out on our own and be broken. God, that's not who you are. You desire a relationship with us. And so, Father, I pray for my friends and my family that they would be totally surrendered to you. That they would totally surrender to you, every single part of their life, even the parts that are scary. And I pray against the lies of the enemy that says, you can't bring this to God. You can't bring that to God. He'll be mad. You can't bring that to God. He won't love you. I pray against the lies of the enemy. Lord, help us to live lives worthy of the calling that you have given us. God, thank you that you didn't just leave us in our filth. You didn't just leave us in our mess, but you sent Jesus to die for our sin. And we are so thankful that the grave is empty, that the tomb is empty and that Jesus is victorious. God, help us to live in that truth. God, we love you. We praise you. We give you our lives in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor John. Thank you so much for listening to the Everyday Church Podcast. For more information on us, or if you happen to make a spiritual decision during this message, please let us know and go to our website, www.everyday.church. There's an email link that you can click on, and we would love to hear from you. If there's anything going on that has happened during this message, if the Lord has spoken to you, or you made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. Also, if there's a prayer request or concern, then you can email us, and we would love to take the time to pray for you and respond in any way that we can. Again, thank you so much for listening. God bless.